You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome in. It is a post-Christmas edition of the Gym Class on this Thursday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew, all with you here and ready to go as we get between Christmas and New Year's. Lot to cover here in the next couple of days, and we're going to start things off right away here today as we are going to talk Iowa State and Miami. May get a little bit of basketball in there as well, but the Pop-Tarts Bowl is first and foremost on our minds here today, and we bring in and wish a Merry Christmas to Rob Gray, covers the Iowa State Cyclones for both Cedar Rapids Gazette and Cyclone Fanatic, and Rob is getting ready to get on an airplane and head down to Orlando to cover this game for those two publications. Rob, thanks for the time. Appreciate it, and thanks for bending over backwards for us.
Yeah, well, you're going to get probably a little bit of ambient noise, but yeah, so far so good. We're on time, and looking forward to heading down there and have Merry Christmas to you guys as well.
Well, if you have to go, if you got to run from one gate to the next gate, let us know, okay?
Fortunately, I'm already near the gate, so that's the good thing. I'm trying to walk away a little bit so I don't annoy everyone.
Very good. All right. Well, Iowa State and Miami, obviously the Cyclones would have loved to have been in the college football playoff, but as far as bowl games are concerned, this is one of the more attractive ones in this battle between the Cyclones and the Hurricanes coming up on Saturday.
Well, yeah, and now that the, former New Year's Six bowls are more or less gobbled up by the expanded playoff. You know, Alamo probably would have been ideal for Iowa State. The Pop-Tarts Bowl, due to their genius marketing of that ultra-processed food, has become a trendy bowl game, and definitely one of the best ones, and certainly one of the most watched ones, which I assume would follow again here on the 28th. But intriguing matchup, Iowa State's played in three iterations in this bowl, lost to Notre Dame big in the Camping World Bowl, and then lost to Clemson by a touchdown in the Cheez-It Bowl, and now they're on to Pop-Tarts. So Lord knows what's next.
Rob, you always have to ask this in the postseason, or the bowl season, as it were. What kind of shape is Iowa State in terms of injuries and opt-outs?
Yeah, Mark, as of right now, they did have a late bolt into the transfer portal by Tyler Onyedem, defensive end, who's played a lot, started a number of games. But other than that, other than some expected ones, right after the portal opened, no big contributors so far. You never know because the portal's still open. And as we see, lots of stuff happen. Miami lost one of their top receivers to the portal a couple weeks ago. So knock on wood from an Iowa State perspective, it's Onyedem and not really much else. And the injuries, they might get linebacker Kale Brezina back, but it's not looking good for, standout tight end Ben Bramer, who's been out for quite a long time, and a lot of the other guys who've been on the shelf for quite a while.
Yeah, and are you surprised at all that Miami, for the most part, is going to be intact for this game? I mean, in the past, the Hurricanes have kind of opted to not play a lot of their top-line players, or a lot of those guys have decided to sit out, but Cam Ward and others, they're going to play in this game.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, and I saw rumblings about their top receiver, Xavier Restrepo, possibly sitting out. I don't know how high of a draft he is. He might be a middle-round guy, but a really productive 1,000-yard, almost 1,200-yard receiver. But, yeah, they're all saying they want to play. I mean, one thing, this is a staggering team. Miami is 1-11 in its last 12 bowl games. And I think the era of NIL has created at least tacit understandings where guys are kind of like, we got paid to play this season. Kind of owe it to the fans, kind of owe it to the team. I wonder if that comes into play a little bit. And I really do think their lack of bowl success and wanting to finish on a good note when they missed the playoff by their last game of the regular season loss to Syracuse, where they gave up a big lead. They're calling it an unfinished business, and I think they're really committed to that group. So, yeah, as of right now, it looks like we're going to see pretty full strength on both teams.
Well, if he does play, Miami quarterback Cam Ward's Heisman Trophy finalist has gaudy statistics. And suffice to say, Rob, that Iowa State has not played a quarterback of his talent yet.
Yeah, I would say so, Mark, but they faced a lot of good running quarterbacks. Ward is a pass-first quarterback, but he can run as needed. They try not to run him a whole lot, I think, because they're so productive in that passing game, which leads to the number one scoring offense in the country. But, yeah, he's a complete package. Defensive coordinator John Haycock said there's not a throw he can't make, and he'll say that about other people, too, because that's John. But he's the real deal. You know, it's certainly a top three quarterback taken and potentially a top five draft pick that, you know, yeah, can do a little bit of everything. To, you know, on his third school, started Incarnate Word, then to Washington State for a while, and just one thing he always does is puts up touchdowns and at an alarming rate from an opponent's perspective. So that does not bode well for Iowa State. I feel like they're going to need to get a turnover or two in order to hang in there and give Rocco Best a chance to attack a vulnerable Miami defense that has a good pass rush and just really struggled to stop teams from scoring.
Yeah, you talk about some of the keys to this game, Rob, and I think the biggest one is this is the number one offense in the country that Cam Ward runs. Iowa State's, though, not too shabby, especially the defense against the pass. So I'm thinking the big X factor is going to be, can Iowa State, I don't think they're going to stop Cam Ward, but can they slow down Cam Ward enough?
Yeah, I think that's true. And again, I think turnovers are key to that. They kind of slowed down in that regard. They were red hot the first several weeks of the season. And, you know, really got exposed by Arizona State, but that was mostly Cam Scataboo and the quarterback, Sam Levitt, showing surprising agility and ability to extend plays with his legs. So, the pass defense ranked third, I believe, in FCS. One of the reasons that the Cyclones are in the low hundreds. And run defense has been a problem all year with all the linebackers being hurt and some that safeties as well, like Malik Verdone. So, it'll be interesting because Miami is a kind of a pass-first team. But its dynamic is there in that game. But do they try to beat Iowa State down with the run a little bit? I mean, I go away from their bread and butter when Iowa State's been vulnerable. That's another, I guess, intriguing element of this game to see what their strategy is going to be.
Well, Georgia Tech kind of found the recipe in dealing Miami its first loss of the season. Tech had the ball 10 more minutes than Miami and eked out a victory there. So you got to think that might be in the Iowa State game plan.
Yeah, and that's what Iowa State certainly tried to do. I mean, you really established the run game. They've been better in that regard this season since at least 2021. Still not good enough, and obviously it's a house of horrors at Jerry World for the Big 12 title game. They fell way behind, and that kind of stuff. But they're going to try to control it. They're going to try to run the ball a lot. They're going to pick their spots. Again, a vulnerable Miami secondary that I think Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, maybe even Gabe Burkle, or Cedar Rapids zone, can dent that secondary. But they're going to try to run the ball. They're going to need to run for at least 150-plus and control the clock to have a chance to win this game, I think.
Yeah. Rob Gray joining us for a few more minutes here as we preview Iowa State and Miami coming up on Saturday here on 1600 ESPN. 10-win season already in the back pocket for Matt Campbell. Obviously, the disappointment with the Big 12 championship game, but 11 wins would be an all-timer for this Iowa State program, and a lot of seniors do want to go out on that winning note. What would that mean to this program going into next year with still a lot of people coming back?
Yeah, I think judging by what they're saying, it would mean a ton. I mean, they really want to go out with a win. I mean, that's talking about Miami's bowl was, but Cyclones have only won two bowls under Matt Campbell. You know, so in the last one, of course, the Fiesta Bowl in 2021 against Oregon. So, Rocco Beck has made a tradition that he would like to end of consoling and talking up uplifting his teammates after tough losses in A, the Liberty Bowl then last year, and then, of course, the Big 12 title game against Arizona State. And he said, I don't want to do that again. So, you know, he's hoping to not have to deliver a kind of pep talk just to celebrate with his team. And I think they've got a shot, but I really think it's going to be an uphill climb unless they can, again, run the ball well and force a turnover.
Well, Miami has the geographical advantage, Rob, but I'm curious how what the buzz is in terms of the following Iowa State will have for this game.
Yeah, I have a feeling when you factor in so many different things, you know, Sweet 16 NCAA tournament run from NCAA last year, what people are probably planning and hoping for the third-ranked Cyclones men's basketball team this season, and a lot of fans planning to go to Ireland. I know that for a fact. A lot of they haven't brought tickets already that they're planning on. So that would seem to depress things, especially, again, playing this bowl for a third time. A lot of people first time could go, hey, get the kids to Disney World, get the grandkids, that type of stuff. You know, there's none of that added incentive this time. So I could see it being a bit down, but obviously it always travels better than most. So they still should have a pretty spirited crowd. It'll be interesting to see how much Miami fans are interested in playing in the Pop-Tarts Bowl as well, to head up north to Central Florida and in Orlando. So it might not be that well populated at Camping World Stadium, but I think Cyclone fans will still represent well.
If it's a Cyclone victory, they get their choice of Pop-Tart flavors to eat, right? So what is the early scuttlebutt on that?
Yeah, a lot of them kind of like the classics, like the fact about brown sugar and, there's kind of a fudge brownie type of thing. Nobody's really talking about the strawberry. You know, they're having fun with it, and they got sent some promo packages that they all, I'm sure, enjoyed as a guilty pleasure, because obviously they're generally paying good attention to nutrition to play at this level, and Pop-Tarts ain't that.
So are you going to turn around after this and just fly to Boulder, right, to start the Big 12 basketball season?
Well, I'm going to turn right around and come home and certainly monitor that game. But, if I could have swung that would have been great. Because, yeah, before we know it, you know, they're going to play Colorado for the second time and the first time as a renewed conference, you know, Big 12 conference foe.
Yeah, not sure. I mean, they took care of Colorado pretty handily the first time down in Maui, but I don't know if that would be the team I want to play, having played them about, you know, a month ago and to start the Big 12 on the road. I think I would have picked somebody else, but still Iowa State's going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, he beat them by, I think, 28, but Colorado still beat UConn, and UConn's obviously done pretty well after going 0-3 in Maui. Not perfect, but UConn. So Colorado's got some guys. Always tough to win in Boulder. Go back to Johnny Orr's teams. They might beat Colorado by 32 in Hilton and lose there by 20. You know, you got the altitude. You got the, you know, not that energized crowd. Just a lot of factors that kind of go against the road team. The Cyclones have struggled there in the past. So I expect a much closer game. But, again, Iowa State's the team they think they are. And most people think they are. They'll go in and take care of business one way or another.
All right. Very good. How's everything at Des Moines International today?
Well, I had to fly up to Minneapolis. So I'm in Minneapolis right now.
Ah.
And it's bustling with activity here. Let's see. They moved the gate for a Phoenix flight. That had some people pretty ticked off. But it looks like, selfishly, everything's good for Orlando here at 3:44 p.m. So good timing.
Good timing, indeed. Hey, Rob, thanks. Appreciate it. Have a safe flight there and on the way back, and we look forward to talking with you in 2025.
Absolutely. Good to join you guys, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Rob Gray joining us live from the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport as we talk Iowa State football with you here on a post-Christmas edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. That is dedication, Mark. Rob may get our most dedicated guest award.
I'm not surprised in the least, knowing Rob.
I just hope he's not next to a crying baby on the way to Orlando. We can all hope. 319-366-1600 as we welcome you officially into the Gym Class program. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes. Andrew on the other side of the glass here today. Hi, Andrew. It's dark over there, man.
It is. I'm a little warm, so I want it darker so I can stay cooler.
No one has ever said that in this end of the building before.
No, not this time of year anyways.
I hope you had a good Christmas.
I did.
Very good. Mark, did you have a good Christmas?
Absolutely. I hope you did as well.
Yeah. I hope everybody, all our listeners did out there as well. 319-366-1600. The coach, Kevin Lehman, is going to join us. That'll be coming up in just a little bit, our Off the Glass segment. That is a Thursday staple brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. So we will talk some college hoops with Kevin coming up, and that includes a coaching change, and I'm sure Mark will get to on his Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up as we get to the bottom of the hour. It was a very fun Christmas in our household yesterday as the Chiefs solidified and clinched the number one berth in the AFC with their win over Pittsburgh yesterday. And I got to see it on Netflix. Apparently people still had problems though, Mark.
Well, judging by your text to me, you were a little skittish about it before the game started, but you quickly dialed it in and it was well worth it. Kansas City looked terrific. And, I mean, winning three games in 11 days, that's pretty impressive. I mean, Baltimore did the same thing, but Kansas City playing well right now, and it's obviously going to be a tough out in the postseason.
We're doing housekeeping here. Say hi, Mark.
Hi, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow about this time. Same place, same time tomorrow.
All right.
What in the world is Ironside doing there?
Well, that was that was my Christmas surprise of the year. I go, Mark, and you're talking, and I go, Mark's here. Wait a minute, it's Thursday. Mark said Friday. Right? Mark told us Friday, right, Mark?
I believe, yeah. Let me yeah, he did.
So I go, can he make it tomorrow? Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, hey, that's what Christmas does in the middle of the week, Andrew.
Yeah, he walked in, and I was just like, yeah, it's Mark Ironside. Like, didn't see anything wrong with it. And then I went and watched you, like, talk to him, and I went, no, wait, he's not today. This is off.
That's all right. It was an early, it was a post-Christmas present.
Yes.
Before a post-post-Christmas present of Mark tomorrow.
Yes.
That's all we're doing is getting a little cameo there for tomorrow's program. They call it a promotional move there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
We really meant to do that the whole time.
It's like, Dean Martin walking in on the old Bing Crosby Christmas specials back in the day. That's what it was, just to throw it into a Christmas spirit for everyone out there. I'm sorry, Mark. Yes. Netflix. Some people had problems with it. I don't know. One TV in our household did not work. The other one did fine. So, hey, we got to see both games and didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the second game.
No, it got good. Netflix got good reviews from what I've seen compared to the Tyson fight. And you kind of hoped and thought that would be the case. I didn't see the game. I didn't want to dial in Netflix. I followed the game. I heard it on radio on these airwaves. And second game spared me Beyonce, and that's just fine.
I did not watch Beyonce. If you watched Beyonce and were over the moon about it, I guess it was a good performance. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't pay much attention to it. And by that time, I didn't even watch mainly any of the second half because it was just that bad of a game. Houston just did not have anything for the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. Chiefs looked really good. Steelers did not look that good. Chiefs are starting to get healthy. Chiefs are starting to play very good football. And
the AFC will go through Kansas City once again. And we'll see what happens. A lot of good teams in the AFC. A lot of good teams in the NFC as well. Which leads us up to Thursday Night Football tonight. One of the teams that is still in action, trying to get into the playoffs, is the Seattle Seahawks. They will take on, Mark, your Chicago Bears tonight. Bears can play spoiler at home. Don't know if they will or not, but I hope they give it a spirited go tonight.
I wouldn't hold your breath. Seattle's played really well on the road, and even if Seattle wins out, it's really a long shot to get into the playoffs anyway. It's two games behind that wild card chase with those teams in the West Division. So I don't think it's – I don't expect it to be a great game tonight. But we'll see. You know, I wonder about this Kansas City team, Scott. I know you're prejudiced being a Chiefs fan, but it's been a historic season. And you know, if this team ends up with one loss, I know it has to play Denver, maybe without Mahomes, maybe without some of the starters. We'll see about that. But the thing about it is they won 11 one-score games. That's – 11 one-score wins is more than 26 NFL teams have total. Think about that for a minute.
That's amazing.
And maybe that's the – so – is Kansas City lucky, good, or a little of both? I think good teams win those games, in my mind. There's a bit of luck along the way for any team, but that's an astounding statistic, I think.
Yeah, it is. What makes me happy, though, is the last couple of wins have not been one score. Those have been...
That's true, yeah.
And if you think back to the game prior, it was a one-score game, but Kareem Hunt fell down on his way into the end zone, which would have made it a two-score game. And those are nitpicky things. Kind of like people talking about the score bug on Netflix yesterday. Oh, I didn't like the score bug, so Netflix did a horrible job. Or they only had two. Somebody was complaining there were only two of the timeout bulbs that were colored in at the start instead of all three. Come on. Who is looking for that? At that point, they did a much better job yesterday than they did with the fight. Let's just put it that way. Or the exhibition fight between with Mike Tyson and Paul going at it. And, hey, better get used to it. Better get used to it because there is going to be more and more streaming of games like this. And who knows what it's going to be like 20 years down the line. Bears and the Seahawks coming up tonight. We'll have it for you beginning at 6:30 for you right here on 1600 ESPN from Westwood One. We're going to get you an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update here. At this time, it's brought to you by Emels on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Merry Christmas to Jamie and Chris and Dave and everybody over there at Emels, a classic local American restaurant right off of First Avenue. It is behind Johnson Fitness, next to the Home Depot, right across from the Lindale Mall. And plenty of things going on the day after Christmas today, Mark, I would imagine, on the scoreboard.
There is indeed. Maybe the top news is Jim Larranaga is stepping away from his head basketball coaching duties at the University of Miami. The 75-year-old is going to retire. Miami is 4-8 to start the season. You'll remember Larranaga led that 2006 George Mason team and the Miami team in 2023 to Final Four appearances. Interestingly, Larranaga noted the climate of college sports these days, mainly NIL, for one of the reasons. In college football, Oklahoma coach Brent Venables said today that the Sooners will only have 56 scholarship players for tomorrow's Armed Services Bowl against Navy, and 24 of the 56 are offensive players. Continuing with college football, reported this afternoon from Chad Lystico and Sean Bach, among others, that offensive tackle Jennings Dunker of Iowa is returning for the 2025 season. And finally, Teddy Bridgewater, who just recently in retirement. I had coached Miami Northwestern to a state championship in football in Florida. He's coming out of retirement. He's signing with the Detroit Lions.
They hope they don't need him, but he's there as insurance. Yeah, how about that? That'd be, could you get a possible Super Bowl ring and a state championship ring in the same season? That's a possibility now for Teddy Bridgewater. And you mentioned Oklahoma, what, 56 scholarship players is what they're going to have? Fresno State had 64 for their Potato Bowl game against Northern Illinois. This is something, it's got to be addressed. And they talked about it during that particular ball game, Mark, and we talked about it with others, guests here on the program. Something's got to be done about the window for the portal, because even coaches have talked about it. If you're in the college football playoff, I know James Franklin mentioned it, you are at a disadvantage right now. And why not just put the portal start toward January, into January? I get it, because they want to get it open so that individuals can go to class and get but let's face it, when they're making millions of dollars, is academics really still first? I like to say it is, but we are kidding ourselves if we say that it is. Something's got to be done to the portal and the window.
Well, they do technically have to enroll, and Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, when we talked with him last week, or earlier this week, I can't remember what it was, but he mentioned that as maybe a stumbling block in moving the portal, but something clearly has to be done. Oklahoma's down to 56 players because of the portal, because of injuries, and, you know, that's 30 players fewer than the minimum. Scholarship players.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, something's got to be done. Speaking of Bulls, three today, and they are in the midpoint of the third quarter up in Detroit. Pittsburgh and Toledo are tied at 20. They started off with a minor skirmish coming out of the locker room. By the way, build stadiums with two tunnels. Because I don't know if people know this, but football teams, Mark, like to talk smack at one another before the game.
They do, generally speaking.
And if you're in the same tunnel, bad things are going to happen, even in the Motor City Bowl. With glad tidings still hanging over everyone from Christmas yesterday, Pitt and Toledo started shoving one another coming out of the tunnel. But they're tied at 20-20 right now. We'll take a break, come back. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. It'll be our Off the Glass segment brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty. And we'll have it for you right after this. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And foggy, drizzly conditions will continue for much of the day today. Outside of that, it'll be cloudy and gloomy. Temperatures will be in the low 40s at least. And then tonight, temperatures stay steadily around 40 degrees with some additional areas of drizzle and fog. Tomorrow, temperatures will rise into the mid 40s. We'll have some more steady showers around as we head through the afternoon and evening with rain winding down tomorrow night. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacey Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. Lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of nine, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process, and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter at edge-realtygroup.com.
Your old golf clubs give new hope to veterans. The Gibb Foundation uses golf as a free rehabilitation treatment for combat-injured veterans. You make it happen when you donate your old clubs. Right now, the Gibb Foundation is accepting donations at Billion of Iowa City. Drop your old clubs off by January 4th and receive a $100 gift certificate for Billion Service Department. It doesn't matter what condition they're in. Make a meaningful impact with your old golf clubs. Donate them to the Gibb Foundation at Billion of Iowa City through January 4th.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity? Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim@kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Back with you on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Coming up tomorrow, for real, it will be Mark Ironside here in studio once again after the cameo appearance 10 minutes ago. He will be back tomorrow.
Yes, he'll be here tomorrow with you and Isaac and Mark.
We promise.
Yes.
Okay. I will have to tell him earlier, though, because we got to get the panel together for the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6.
Yes, you do.
So, Mark, tomorrow, and we will have the Pick 6 for you. Talk about Iowa and Iowa State's bowl games as well on a busy Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Kevin Lehman set to join us right now. His appearance with our Off the Glass segment is brought to you by Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. And post Merry Christmas to you, Kevin. How was the basketball at the Lehman Merry Christmas get together?
Well, we have a White Elephant gift exchange, 47 numbers drawn.
Oh.
And that does not count. There's probably 20 kids that are under 18 that involved in their own. So I think we're pretty close to 70 people at the Cosgrove Gymnasium just west of Iowa City.
Wow. No basketball shooting contests or anything like that, huh?
I tell you, there's footballs flying around, there's basketballs. You gotta duck, bob, and weave at Lehman's Hammer Union, or you'll get hit by something.
Well, Chris, he always has a question when he passes the ball to you for the segment here today. And he wants to know today, up to 1973. So we're going back a few years. Who was the only Iowa City Regina athlete to start on two state tournament teams?
Just going back to Mark Duke's years back here.
That's before Mark.
he's really digging in now. He just got inducted in the Regina Hall of Fame, Chris Shooter Lehman did last fall. So we got some trivia questions for him. But I'm going to answer that one. I started on the – remember the first year of the football playoffs, 1972?
Yep.
We had a Regina team that went 5-4 because every school we played was above our class, and we got in the playoffs. Dave Clement was the coach, the former Hawk great, and we got to the championship game that year. Then that was my senior year. As a junior, I played in the first state tournament that Regina's ever appeared in. So, yeah, for a long time, I was the only person to start in both a football championship game and the basketball state tournament.
I graduated in 74, Kevin, so I'm familiar with those teams. And you know, Mark Gannon quickly put that to shame.
Well, no, Luke made him quit football when he had a separated shoulder when he was a sophomore, so he didn't play football after that. You know, I think he led the league in receptions as a sophomore. Mark Gannon did, but they sent him to the Iowa trainer, Mark, and football was over at that point for Mark Gannon.
Lute spoke.
Yes, yes. Mark's a good friend, so we always reminisce about our good old Regina days.
There you go. Well, good old days. Let's start in Iowa City. Actually, in Sioux Falls, seems like about 8 years ago, but Iowa beat Utah last Saturday night. Big win, good non-conference win. Still not a quad one win last time I looked anyway, but Iowa is now, 3-0 in quad two victories at this present time. But certainly one that helped the resume a little bit, and certainly one you need to win and not lose if you want to get into the NCAA tournament in a couple months.
Well, Scott, I think you're right on with that one. That would have been a really bad loss for Iowa, a win that they had to get. They're going to get plenty of quad one, quad two opportunities what they get in the Big Ten play. But I tell you, I like the way this team's playing now. That two-guard lineup with Thelwell and Brock Harding, they really play up-tempo. And this is a game they didn't press much because Utah could shoot the ball so well from the three-point line. You know, kind of a game of ebbs and flows. And the fact that Sanford got 8 offensive rebounds, I think, is also a good sign for the Hawks because they need help on the glass. Let's hope that they can get Sadu Traore back to help them on the glass because they really need some more physicality in that front line. And again, after watching that game, this is one of Fran McCaffrey's best defensive teams we've seen in a couple years.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin, the next game Monday, and I'm going to drop some net knowledge here, okay? you know how I feel about net. Net knowledge, New Hampshire is 355 out of 364. This game isn't going to do a whole lot for the Hawks before Big Ten play.
No, it's not. But, the master of scheduling, you'd never want to play a really good opponent when you bring your players back from Christmas vacation. And also, I found this out when I was a head coach. Right before Christmas, you always want to go on the road. Then you have more control of your players playing home. When I had home games at Nebraska-Omaha, I found out my players would pack their cars before they came to the game because when that game was over, they jumped in the cars and were heading home. So you got to understand the psychology of scheduling. But you're right, Mark. This team is not going to help the Hawks at all. A little bit of a warm-up. But then they got a Wisconsin team that's a little bit wounded, 0-2 in the Big Ten, losses at home to Michigan and a loss at Illinois on that first Big Ten game.
Yeah, having to go to Madison and getting in the way of Wisconsin possibly going 0-3, that is not a good way to start the Big Ten, to re-up the Big Ten anyway. And then coming home to take on a Nebraska team I watched last night at the Diamond Head late on ESPN, and they won that championship beating Oregon State down in Honolulu.
Yeah, Nebraska, I think this might be one of Fred's better teams. You know, he had a good team last year, but he's slowly building that up. So this is if you look at Iowa's schedule coming up, and we're going to discount the one that Mark's talking about, that 355 net. But at Wisconsin, you got Nebraska and Indiana at home for the Hawks. You know, winnable games before they go out to Southern Cal at UCLA swing. This is going to be interesting because you've got those four new West Coast teams, Oregon playing well. UCLA had some good wins. USC struggled a little bit. And also Washington struggled a little bit. But a different look in the Big Ten. Now, I'm wondering about this, guys. How much is going to affect those teams, the travel that they have to do? You know, I was in the middle of the continent, but think about those road trips to Rutgers, to Maryland, for Oregon, USC, UCLA, and Washington. Those are going to be really grueling trips.
Kevin, I wonder about a surprise team in the Big Ten. Maybe not a big surprise, but I look at Ohio State they got drilled against Auburn. They got drilled against Maryland, and then they drilled Kentucky at Rupp Arena. What do you make of the Buckeyes?
Well, I think it's kind of like the Big Ten. If you look at the Big Ten, we've seen that throughout. You got that Wisconsin team that beat Arizona, and they got another good win in there also. I can't recall it right now. I just was looking at their schedule. So it's kind of been topsy-turvy. And, yeah, Ohio State, they got healthy. I know that before they went in and won that game at Kentucky, but that is hard to do, at obviously, at Rupp Arena. Wisconsin, with a lot of new faces, they got hit hard by the transfer portal as A.J. Storr ended up at Kansas and Chucky Hepburn ended up at Louisville. So here's what I like when you get the Big Ten play, because you put those non-conference games away. We always talk about three seasons when you're coaching basketball. You got your non-conference, your conference, and then your postseason tournaments, conference tournament and NCAA or NIT tournaments. So now you get, get in league play where there's some rivalries. There's some more familiarity for these teams. But I think if you look at the Big Ten, the teams that I like right now are Oregon. Big upside there. UCLA's got some little pizzazz to them. Purdue's another team, Mark, that makes you scratch your head because they've had some huge losses. You know, they got beat by almost 20 at Auburn, and then they had another like 20-point loss. So it's kind of an interesting Big Ten. Although, when you look at those power rankings, SEC, the best league in the country, Big Ten is considered the second best because the middle and the bottom of the Big Ten is pretty good.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us at 3:45 on a Thursday edition of our Off the Glass segment here on 1600 ESPN. Iowa State got their last non-conference win. They took care of Morgan State last Sunday, and now, after a little bit of a rest, they go on the road to Boulder on Monday night, take on Colorado. They already played Colorado, like we talked about with Rob Gray a little bit ago in the Minneapolis airport. I'm not so sure this is a good spot. I don't know if I would have picked to go to Colorado to start things off. Iowa State should be fine, but you've already played Colorado. They've already played you. They're going to come up with something different. You know that.
No question. And then I heard Rob mention this too. It's a little different animal out there because the altitude that you're going to play in Boulder. So that's another factor you have to put in there. But Iowa State beat this team. They're in Hawaii, beat them by 28. But I'm with you. I don't think I want to turn around and open up my conference play with that. If you look at Iowa State, they've got that game coming up. And then you've got Baylor and Utah at home. I think there's a chance for Iowa State to get off to a really good start before they got Kansas coming in on the 15th. But they got to go to Texas Tech. This is a Big 12 league, guys. Don't be surprised if teams get maybe two losses in a row. I think it's how fast can you bounce back from losses is going to be the key to winning in the Big 12. And Hilton Coliseum may be the best venue right now in the Big 12.
Sunday, Kevin, what kind of problems might undefeated Drake have with Belmont?
Oh, you know, I've got Belmont at Northern Iowa on that Tuesday on the 1st. So I looked at Belmont. I tell you what, Mark, that is a team. They are usually tops in the country in threes and three-point percentage. They will play really fast. It's going to be that old, you know, great fights make contrasting styles. That's what you have. A Drake team that's like one of the tops in the nation, only giving up like 58 points a game. A Belmont team that wants to score in the high 80s. It'll be interesting, and I tell you, this Drake team really is a team. I don't know how much you guys have watched them. They have a lot of flaws, but their coaching's been so good by Ben McCollum that they're able to overcome those flaws. But Drake, that's going to be a real test at home. They've been good at Knapp Center, going back to Darren DeBreeze's, and they just continue this year. You know, there's only four undefeateds left in the country. Drake, one of those, along with Florida, Tennessee and Oklahoma.
Drake, actually, I know it's only December 26th, but Drake is actually, as an at-large, is in the Joe Lunardi bracketology right now, and he's got Indiana State in there as the conference champion. I don't know how that's going to work out, but it's good to see two MVC teams in there right now.
Well, the great thing that Drake was able to do in her scheduling, and this is kind of a quirk because we've talked about this all the time about how hard it is to schedule as a mid-major, but they got in that MTE and had a chance to get a win over Miami, whose coach just retired. and a coach, a win over Vanderbilt, along with Florida Atlantic, another known team from their Final Four appearance a couple of years ago. So Drake's got three wins, along with that win at Kansas, against Kansas State and Kansas City. They've got three wins against major conference teams, which is really hard to do as a mid-major, just to get those games on your schedule. What's going to be the problem in the Valley is there's a couple teams at the bottom. Evansville, Valpo, UIC are going to pull that net down. So they had to make their hay early. So they've got a pretty good score right now on those metrics. They can't slip up and lose to one of those bottom feeders.
Kevin, I know you saw Jim Larinaga stepping away at Miami, and we talked about his Final Four teams in 06 and 23. And at 75, you know, that's a retirement age for some, but he talked about what other coaches have talked about and the climate of college sports and the NIL and whatnot. What are your thoughts on Larinaga stepping away at this point?
Well, I remember that team in 2023. You know, Drake played him in the first round, Mark and Scott, and that was they barely beat Drake. They were able to get that going into the to a Final Four run. But remember, here's what I think when I think of Miami: Nigel Pack.
Yep,
that was the first NIL guy that announced on his social media that he was going to get, what was it, $400,000. Today's world, that's like pocket change to some of the numbers that we're hearing. But it was that 3 years ago they left Kansas State. Nigel Pack still playing for Miami. But I think what's happening, Mark, is you're seeing these coaches, the roster turnover is so grueling. You're recruiting 365 days a year now. You're recruiting your own players to stay on your team. I just think you're going to see more and more of these coaches. I'm wondering how long Tom Izzo is going to stick it out at Michigan State because of this changing landscape we're seeing in college athletics.
Yeah, he's kind of the last one of that particular breed. We'll see how long he's. Hey, they're off to a good start. Michigan State's playing very good ball right now. How good would Morehead State be right now with Jani Broom and Drew Thelwell still playing among the other guys?
Oh, I forgot that Broom starter. And, you know, and the coach. Spraulding, I know he went to a different job. I called some Ohio Valley games years ago, actually before those two showed up. But, yeah, that'd be a pretty good mid-major team, guys. But, you know, today's landscape, if you're a mid-major trying to keep your players, that's hard to do. I think we talked last week about, you know, Bennett Sturts at Drake, the conversation that's going on right now and amongst Drake boosters about how much money do we need to keep that young man to wear a Drake Bulldog uniform.
True. Very true. You got a busy week coming up. You got your Cedar Falls. You go down to Lawrence, Des Moines. You got you and I at Valpo. Yeah. You're everywhere, man.
Yeah, it's. I think I had a 5-game in about an 8-day stretch. And nowhere you could fly to either, guys. It's all going to be a road warrior by car. So I've got Southern Illinois at you and I. You and I, if you look at their schedule, they got a chance to get off to a really good start in the Valley. Southern at home, then Belmont at home before they go on the road. And then kind of excited about this one. West Virginia at Kansas on New Year's Eve. Of course, Darren DeVries, West Virginia, a young man I recruited at Northern Iowa, know him really well. Tucker DeVries out, guys. I don't know if he's out for the season, but he had some shoulder problems, and he's out. So that's going to be a tough task for the Mountaineers, and then I'm driving right back for that New Year's Day game. Belmont, who's going to go on a swing now. They've got Drake and Northern Iowa in 3 days. They're going to play those two, so they do an Iowa swing and get their winter coats before they head back to Nashville.
Very true, very true. Hope you had a great Christmas. We will talk next Thursday.
All right, guys. Happy New Year. I won't talk to you before then, so. Good luck.
All right.
At the end of 2024.
We'll talk to you in 2025.
That sounds good.
Coach Kevin Lehman joining us each Thursday with our Off the Glass segment. It is brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group, in Iowa City. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right after this.
Life's busy, and Quick Start gets it. Whether you're grabbing fresh coffee, a bakery treat, or a quick meal, Quick Start is your go-to for quality and fast service. From clean restrooms to fresh groceries, easy meal options, and guaranteed fuel, we make your day easier. Plus, enjoy perks like free ATMs, free air for your tires, and sweet rewards with the Quick Rewards program. Everything you need in one stop, and always a friendly, see you next time. Quick Start, where your day gets easier and better.
Imagine someone hiding a gambling problem. How exhausting it must be. Seeing the losses pile up and feeling powerless to control it? Now imagine it's someone you love, your spouse, your child, your friend. Talk to them to understand where they're coming from. Because anyone can have a gambling problem. They just need help getting their life back. Get help for them and you by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF or visiting yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. And at this time, usually, we would be giving you a Bowling Night in America recap brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. But alas, Christmas and New Year's, Mark, are about the only two things that get in the way of Bowling Night in America.
How's practices going?
So far, so good. We haven't had one.
Not in the bowling alley, anyway.
No. Sometimes the best practices are when you do not have a practice. And I think we're going to go with that philosophy.
Good strategy.
It did feel a little strange last night, not being at the bowling alley.
If you were thinking of bowling on Christmas night, then there was, I don't know.
Oh, man. But we'll not have bowling again next week. We'll be back 2 weeks. 13 days will be the next edition of Bowling Night in America, but still time if you'd like to stop on out during the holidays here for some open bowling or visit the pro shop, you can do so. Go ahead and give them the number there, Mark.
Sure can. The number is 362-0136, and plenty of information on the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
There you go. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us, and we will have the latest edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Talk a little bit about Iowa and Iowa State, a final look, because we are off next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Spencer will be on right after the game on Monday, little impromptu call-in show after Iowa takes on Mizzou down in Nashville. But we will be back with you on Thursday. Got bowl games on Tuesday, have bowl games on Wednesday. Mark, if you were wondering about college football playoff versus the NFL, all NFL, 15 million viewers to 6 million viewers. NFL is still the king.
What about the NBA, man?
I didn't see yesterday's yet. I tried to look it up, but it wasn't out there yet. But okay. NBA versus NFL, I think the NFL is going to win. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. This has been the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN.
Lowe's knows how to help you save time and money, no matter the job. That's why we can deliver supplies to your job site as soon as